God's holy word to St. Matthew, chapter number 23. St. Matthew, 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive a greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he it is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and to not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but wherein they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which have been sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thus was the reading. Let's bow before our Lord in prayer.
God, our Father in heaven, we count it a great privilege to be able to bow before thee and to come into thy presence. What a great blessing this is in our lives, Lord, where we have direct access unto the throne of grace. We give thee thanks and we praise thee well. Lord, thou hast been good to us. Thou hast blessed us so abundantly. Thou hast provided for us food and clothing and shelter and so much more in this physical life. Lord, we give thee the thanks for all these material blessings that we have in abundance. But we are more thankful, Father, and most thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ, in that he has come here upon this earth, taken upon himself flesh and blood, and has lived a perfect life, that he might show us the way, that he might teach us of those things which are good and right and heavenly, and that he might ultimately be crucified and give up his life. No man took it from him, but he gave it up of himself and died a cruel death upon the cross, having a crown of thorns platted upon his head, having his hands and feet pierced and nailed to a cross, and his side pierced, and therefore came water and blood from his side. Father, we are so thankful for this wonderful plan of salvation and for the cleansing that comes through thy blood, that we might have our sins forgiven us and that we might stand clean before thee as we have faith and believe in this finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Lord, we know he was placed in a tomb, but that tomb could not contain him, but that he rose on that third day and lives forevermore, and is at thy right hand, dear Father, and is interceding for us, and we give thee the thanks, Lord, for this that he has done for us. Blessed be thy name, and for this wonderful plan of salvation. For all this, Lord, we do give thee our heartfelt thanks. Help us, dear God, that we would show our thankfulness by obedience unto thy word. Help us to lay aside all selfishness, all pride, all desire of our own will, and, Lord, be yielded fully unto thee. Lord, may thy will be done in our lives. Help us, Lord, that we would be faithful to thee, that we would do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Help us to have compassionate hearts. Help us to be merciful. Help us not to condemn, not to judge, Father, but to be merciful and forgiving and having a giving heart. Father, for truly, even as we have read this morning, if the Pharisees and scribes would have been compassionate and merciful, giving and forgiving, not condemning and not judging, Lord, these words would not have been spoken against them. And so help us, Lord, to be yielded unto thee, to submit ourselves unto thee, to walk in thy ways and to please thee well. Help us, O God, that we, Lord, would draw near unto thee, that we would think upon those things which are eternal, and that we would draw others unto thee, Lord, that we would share with them of thy goodness, thy great love, and draw them unto thee, Lord, that thou wouldst show unto them, Lord, that thou art merciful and that thou art kind, and that those who ask, seek, and knock, it would be opened unto them, and that thou wouldst manifest thy love and thy forgiveness even unto them. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us one and all. Lord, we bring our supplication unto thee and ask, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for us as only thou canst do. We would pray even for our daily bread, that thou wouldst provide for us. Though we may have refrigerators and pantries that are full, Lord, we still yet ask of thee that thou wouldst provide for us, because, Lord, we can do nothing of our own, and we know that all things, good things, and all things come from thee, and that thou art faithful and that thou art kind. So we would just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for each and every one of us. We have varied needs. We are in various stages of life. We have varied circumstances, Lord, and Satan tempts us, each and every one, through the struggle we have in various ways. And we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant unto us that we would be, again, yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, claiming the promises that are written in thy word, that greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world, and that thou art faithful, and that thou wilt not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou then provide for us, each and every one, according to the promises that are written in thy word. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those who are in need of physical healing. We even think of our sister who has been diagnosed with liver cancer. We would lift her up in prayer unto thee, and Lord, that if it can be according to thy will, that thou wouldst heal. For we know that with thee it is a small thing to heal the body. And Father, we would just pray, Lord, for those who are seeking thee, that thou wouldst provide for them likewise. We would pray for those who are traveling even now. Lord, we would lift them up in prayer unto thee, and as our brothers and sisters would gather together in large numbers this week, we would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be in their midst, that thou wouldst bless all that would transpire, that it would be an honor and a glory unto thee, and that our brothers and our sisters would be edified in their faith, and that those that know thee not would be drawn unto thee. Father, we give thee the thanks, Lord, for these rich blessings of life that we receive from thee. Thou art good, thou art faithful, thou art kind, and help us, Lord, as thou hast been good, faithful, and kind unto us, that we would also then likewise be good, faithful, and kind one to another, Lord, that we would seek to edify and build up and encourage one another into thy ways, and that thou wouldst be blessed. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wouldst forgive us where we have failed thee. Lord, show unto us where we have failed thee, and grant us grace to recognize our failings, to be asking thee for forgiveness, and to recognize, Lord, where we have failed, and strive, Lord, by thy grace, to repent from that and to do those things no more. Lord, truly there is many things, Lord, that we can ask of thee in prayer. We just simply ask that thou wouldst bless one and all. We love thee. We thank thee for all things, and ask that thou wouldst be with our brother now as the message would go forth. Encourage him and bless him, and may he be yielded to the Holy Spirit and to thy word as this message would go forth. We love thee, we thank thee, and pray these things in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Wonderful day to be in God's house, to hear God's word. I trust that we prepared our hearts for a message. I trust that God will deliver this message, even though I speak. I'm reminded of a song as we look into this word, song number 142. O brethren, as a mirror bright, we look into God's word, where each may learn the way of right and see his precepts good. So this is a mirror, this word of God, this precious word is a mirror unto us. And I trust that we, this morning, when we prepare to come to church, or whenever we prepare to go somewhere, we prepare our physical bodies, by getting dressed, by eating, by looking in the mirror, seeing if there's anything out of place, looking to see if there's something that needs to be fixed, because when we go in public, we want to look our best. We don't want people to look at us in ways that maybe would look down on us, maybe cause them to think about us in a different way. And in this word, this Holy Scripture, and Timothy speaks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And as we look into this, in this chapter that we've read together, let's consider ourselves as we read this. Let's not look to somebody next to us or think about somebody that this is the Scripture that they need to hear. Let's look at this as a mirror for us. Do we do these things? Are we like the Pharisees? Let's consider this. For the scribes and the Pharisees were in Moses' seat. They were the authority of that day. They were the leaders of God's people. And Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, and no doubt the Pharisees were at least there, or representation of their sect were there. And Jesus says, observe what they say and what they bid you to do. Observe. Consider what they tell you to do. But don't do after their works. Don't do after their works. Because they bind heavy burdens on the people, making multitude of commandments that were not scriptural. And we could read further on the washing of cups, the washing of hands, rituals, how they dressed. And they laid these burdens heavy to be borne on the people, but they didn't fulfill them themselves. Verse number 5 says, but all their works they do to be seen of men. Are we like this? Do we come to church? Do we want to be seen of men? Oh, look how righteous I am. Look how good I am. I hope people see me. The way I dress. And the Pharisees had phylacteries. They were leather boxes where they rolled up scripture in these boxes, and they strapped them to their foreheads and on their left arms. And they were like, look at me, I'm so godly, I'm wearing the word of God, showing themselves that they thought themselves to be something greater than what they really were. Do we do this? Do we have bumper stickers on our car, I love Jesus? Do we have shirts and dresses and whatever that proclaim the word of Jesus, but our works deny him? Are we like this? Do we love to sit in the highest seat at maybe a banquet or somebody's house when we go for dinner? Do we desire the things to glory in ourselves, that we are something when we're nothing? See, the Pharisees and the scribes, they loved these things. They reveled in these things. They found themselves that, oh, this is striking my ego. This is lifting me up. I feel good about myself because I'm in the highest seat. Look at them down there. They're not with me. And they love the greetings in the marketplace. To be called rabbi, teacher, teacher. And Christ says, but be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. Christ is our master. He's our teacher. And no man should be called father. There is no spiritual father greater than God. our Heavenly Father. There are those in this world that would call a man higher than God, lifting them higher than God. Even in their own hearts, they lift themselves up. And we know that Satan wanted to be like God, wanted to be lifted up as even unto God. But we have one master, loved ones, one master, Jesus Christ, the one that saved us from our sins, the one that loved us so much that he gave up his throne in heaven to come down on this earth, to suffer the pain, the agony, to be forsaken by all, even his family members, looked down upon him. But he that is greatest among you, he is greatest among you shall be your servant, which is Christ. Christ is greatest among us, and he is our servant. He taught us. He even washed the disciples' feet. He died for us. And if we want to be great, we need to be God's servants. We need to be serving others, not ourselves, not lifting ourselves up like the Pharisees. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Whoever is going to lift himself up, the Lord one day, if it's not on this earth, it will be in heaven before God's throne when we will all get judged. We'll be abased, we'll be humbled. And whoever humbles himself now shall be exalted. These next couple scriptures, let's consider our own lives when we read these and maybe look into our own hearts and see, do we really love the Lord? Do we do these things out of our own selves? Do we want to be something to show people that we're something? Like this song says, a mirror. We're looking into this word. We're going to see ourselves, the wickedness in our hearts. If we're really honest with ourselves, we'll see the things we need to fix, the things we should ask God for mercy for, and understanding. We are not perfect, loved ones. We desire to be. Not that we could lift ourselves up, but that we'd be true servants of the Lord. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Loved ones, at home, do we leave our doors of our bedrooms open when we pray, hoping that our children are going to see us? Oh, look, Dad's praying. Or even at work, I hope somebody's looking at me. I'm praying to God. I'm so spiritual. Do we do that? Or do we go in our closets? Do we go in a room that's closed? Do we pray to our Lord in secret? Because our Lord that sees us praying in secret will reward us openly. But the Pharisees, they prayed these long prayers in the streets. Look at me. Look how long I'm praying. Look how godly I am. They will receive, and we will also, if we do these things, receive the greater condemnation, the greater damnation. And they also compassed land and sea. They went around the land to convert one soul unto Judaism. And it says that they made him twofold, two times more the child of hell than themselves, because they laid all these rules on them that were not scriptural. And they forbid them to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that he was a rebel, that he had a demon. God forbid. They were blind guides. A guide is someone that knows the terrain, knows where to take tourism people through, knows the dangers, knows the beautiful scenery, knows where people want to go. But these Pharisees were blind, and they were guiding the people into ways that would be condemning them. Do we lead people astray, loved ones? We profess to be Christians, but do our deeds deny him? Do people look at us and say, he's a Christian? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing what I'm doing? Why is he cursing? Why is he lusting? Why is he hating? Do I do that? Am I like that? They were swearing by the temple. You promised this promise upon the temple of God. Oh, no, I don't have to keep that promise. I didn't promise it on the gold in the temple. What hypocrites. The temple is what sanctifies the gold. The temple is where God dwells, the second temple that was built to praise the Lord. They were blaspheming. And they were covetousness in their hearts, full of extortion. They were bringing their gifts to the altar. And they were swearing by the gift on the altar, whatever it may be. Maybe it was a lamb, maybe it was money, I don't know. But they were swearing by it. They were making an oath, promise to something, to someone, and they weren't fulfilling it because they said they didn't swear to the gift on the altar. Verse number 23 hits home for me. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. These Pharisees were going to their gardens on the side of their houses where their herbs were growing, and they would pick out 9 leaves for me, 1 leaf for God. Look how holy I am, even to the 10th of everything I have. They followed it, even to their little gardens, but they were omitting something greater. They didn't have righteous judgment. They didn't have mercy. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith in the Lord. They didn't come to the Lord. They didn't have mercy. Remember the woman caught in adultery. No mercy for her. Where was the man? He wasn't there. Were they watching for her to commit adultery? What shame was that? They didn't have mercy. They didn't have judgment. Luke chapter 11, same account, verse number 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. They passed over the love of God. They didn't love like God loved. They didn't care about people. They cared about themselves. They didn't care to lift somebody up. They wanted people to look on them. These ought ye to have done, and to leave the other undone. Forget the herbs. Forget the tenth of whatever you have that God gave you. That doesn't matter. You need to have the love of God to care about people. They were rulers. They were the leaders of the Jewish nation. But they had no authority. Jesus Christ, when he preached, he had the authority because he cared about people. He humbled himself. He ate with sinners. They could not. They wouldn't be seen doing that. And in this account, I believe it speaks about that the Pharisees looked upon him and they judged him because they marveled that he'd not first wash his hands before dinner. It wasn't a washing of let's clean our hands. It was a ritual washing, a rule that they created that if you didn't follow it, you were not following the traditions of the elders and of the Pharisees. Rules that do not please God, that show ourselves to be something that we're nothing, that show ourselves that we are better than someone, that will not take us to a good place. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord. For ye are as graves that appear not, and men that walk over them are not aware of them. Pharisees are like graves. When somebody dies, we don't know they're buried. There's no tombstone there. And we walk over it. This was like the Pharisees. They walked on men because of their pride. But they were just as dead men. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves that appear not. They do not appear. They are gone. And it speaks about the sepulchres that they painted of the prophets that were killed by their fathers, by their generations before. And they painted these sepulchres and these tombs with white paint so that they would appear beautiful. But what's in a grave, what's in a sepulcher? Nothing but deadness, rottingness, bones, smells, bugs, rats, all filthiness. And that's what the Pharisees were. Are we like that as well? Do we look good on the outside, but inside we have wickedness in our hearts? Do we try to be something as a hypocrite, living a life that shows that we're something but we're not? That's how the Pharisees were. Let's not us follow in that footstep. And as we look into God's word, that we would correct the things that we see. That we would not be content with where we're at. That we would not have this false hope, being deceived by the devil. We're not casual Christians, loved ones. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to live according to his will and his word daily. Not just on Sundays when people see us for this couple hours that we see each other. We can say, God bless you. We love you. But in our hearts, we hate each other. That's not going to profit anything. God will see everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intents of our hearts. He knows our minds, how frail we are. He wants to lift us up and to guide us. But if we push away and we think we're something and we know better, God cannot work with us if we're not humble. And as he rebuked the Pharisees, he says that in verse number 50, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. For from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, it should be required of them. And that's in Luke chapter 12. It should be required because they didn't repent. And in Matthew 20, 32nd verse says, fill ye up the measure of your father. What were the Pharisees going to do? They planned it. They were going to crucify the Lord. "Oh, we didn't kill the prophets, but they hated him so much out of envy to deliver him unto Caesar to be crucified." They were going to fulfill the lust of their father, Satan, to try to destroy the Son of God. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Those similar words were spoken by John the Baptist in the third chapter of Matthew. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when the Pharisees came, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Because they came to show that, hey, we're going to follow this, we're going to get baptized, but they didn't have fruits. They didn't have the works. They were the same. Hateful hearts, full of extortion. "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." What things? The things that were written in verse number 34. "I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify," which is Jesus Christ. Also Peter was crucified. James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. "Some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogue." Scourging is whipping. Whipping a person in the synagogue. Disciplining someone with whipping and scourging. Would somebody do that in a church? They did it in a synagogue and persecuted them from city to city. Apostle Paul, Silas, many others that are written in the word, persecuted from city to city. "And the blood of them all is upon the generation," that generation, "of the Pharisees that crucified the Lord. Let that blood not be on our hands as well, loved ones. If we claim to be Christians, let's live as a Christian. If we have hypocrisy in our lives, let's ask God to pull that out as a weed from our hearts, because the weeds will spread. It'll choke out the good plant. It'll kill, and the good plant, whatever it may be, will not have fruits. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together?" And gathering of children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, protecting them from a storm, protecting them from other chickens. Jesus Christ wanted to do this, to protect his people from wickedness, but they would not, because their hearts were not there. They were far from God. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." What happened after? Jesus Christ died. The temple was destroyed. The following that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes had were gone. They had no more authority. They were nothing now. Nobody was looking up to them now. Nobody was there. Even during Christ, they were following. Multitudes were following him and said, "If we let this continue, the whole world will go after him." In closing, let's consider these words. Let's consider our lives. And let's ask the Lord to help us make the right decisions. Not look upon others, and that we'd have the name of the Lord with us. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen.